From the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
You're cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, destroying everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run, but there's nowhere to go when the job is done. All takes place. We've got to stop this inhuman race.
And welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Each week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news, you'll hear about corporations, government agencies, and people who are killing the planet, and about the folks who have detailed information on saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, or web addresses, so please get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information, because this isn't couch potato radio. It's activist radio, and I'm asking you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods up in a tripod or a tree sit, or locked down in that dragon at the road blockade. If you do have information, news, comments, or announcements for Earth First Radio, please keep that pencil handy and listen for the contact information in the later part of the show. And right now we're going to get into action news. The big action this week is up in Oregon. We'll start out with the first news report to come through. Oregon Department of Forestry cuts tree out from protester at AC Line timber sale. Three arrested for trying to videotape unsafe logging. Activists accused the Oregon Department of Forestry of recklessly endangering the lives of peaceful protesters. In its continuing efforts to log the last 1% of Oregon's oldest coastal forest, the Oregon Department of Forestry is cutting trees while nonviolent protesters are sitting in their branches. The action is unprecedented in an Oregon logging protest and was decried as a deliberate attempt to kill or injure peaceful protesters opposed to ODF's logging practices. An activist with the Cascadia Forest Alliance climbed into the branches of a tree outside the small buffer given for one of the tree sits in the area. In response, the Oregon Department of Forestry sent climbers into the tree to remove the individual, but were unsuccessful. The Oregon Department of Forestry then cut a segment out of the tree and told the protester they would cut it down with him in it if he did not come down. The activist would not come down and was forced to leap into the branches of a nearby tree to save his life as the first tree came crashing to the ground. Three members of the public were arrested as they attempted to witness and videotape the incident. ODF called an ambulance to the scene but was continuing to cut trees out from under the activist, risking his life and physical safety. And then we move on to the second story here. God's Valley update. Clatsop County Sheriff's and Oregon Department of Forestry recklessly endanger life of activists. An activist named Ridge, desperate for food and water, fell from a tree last Saturday and was taken to a hospital with a broken hip, collapsed lung, concussion, and possible brain damage after being constantly bombarded with noise and lights until fatigued to the point of exhaustion. The activist named Ridge reportedly fell out of the tree where he'd been trapped for over 36 hours without food, water, or climbing gear. And I must add that they had cut every single branch below the climber Ridge, and so he had no way to get down out of the tree except to fall. The ODF and local sheriffs continue to claim they were concerned about the activist's safety, but the outcome of their reckless and possibly criminal actions reveal a different story. Tillamook County Sheriff said Ridge was arrested and taken to Emmanuel Hospital in Portland, where he's currently undergoing tests for brain damage. Once again, this proves the Oregon Department of Forestry cares more about timber production than it does about basic human safety, said Donald Fotenot of the Cascadia Forest Alliance. I don't remember reading anything about criminally reckless endangerment of lives of the peaceful protesters in their forest management plan. By the way, the logging at AC Line timber sale is extremely contentious because it cuts the last 1% of older forest in Oregon. And we move on to the third story, this one by Jonathan Nelson of the Oregonian. Activists protesting the logging operation in the Tillamook State Forest filled a courtroom Monday to support 16 of their comrades who were arrested last week during demonstrations. A senior judge from Clatsop County released all 16 activists. A total of 20 people had been arrested, but four were released prior to Monday's court appearance. Most of those held were issued infractions. Only two people remain charged with misdemeanors. The protest of AC Thin in God's Valley, northeast of Nehalem, turned serious Saturday when a protester had spent almost 48 hours clinging to the tops of trees fell 60 feet from a 100-foot-tall hemlock. Michael Scarpetti, also known as Trey Arrow, was taken to Legacy Emanuel Hospital and Health Center, where he was listed Monday in fair condition with fractures to his chest, arm, rib, and pelvis. Those of you who have listened to Earth First Radio remember that Scarpetti spent 11 days in July of the year 2000 perched on a ledge outside the U.S. Forest Service headquarters in downtown Portland. He was protesting the Eagle Creek timber sale in the Mount Hood National Forest at that time. Scarpetti's fall produced the most serious known injuries to an anti-logging protester in Oregon, according to Ivan Molesky of the Cascadia Forest Alliance. Sheriff John Rakel said he wasn't sure if Clatsop County will pay Scarpetti's medical expenses. Rakel said a police agency is generally responsible for medical bills for a person who has been arrested, as was Scarpetti. But Rakel said there may be some questions since Scarpetti wasn't actually in the physical custody of his deputies. They were just standing around the base of the tree. I guess that doesn't count. Scarpetti's fall Saturday was followed by two uneventful days at the logging site, Rakel said. The majority of the trees were cut by Monday. The Cascadia Forest Alliance has issued a list of demands that include Governor John Kitzhaber halting future logging of mature forests in the coastal range and of cutting trees with protesters in them, I'm sure. What do you have for us today, Jason?
Órale, todos rebelados corazones. This is ALF, the Animal Liberation Front, claims responsibility for the $1 million fire set in the maintenance building at the Colston Foundation. That's the TCF. TCF has the largest colony of captive chimpanzees in the world. It has been in violation of even the minimal standards of the Animal Welfare Act for years. The USDA has brought more charges against TCF than any other research lab. Yet, the TCF refuses to enforce these laws enforced upon them and become shut down. The TCF is in such a deplorable state that the National Institutes of Health have pulled its funding, and TCF also lost their accreditation as a research lab. TCF is under attack for legal groups and individuals across the country, and it is teetering on the edge of bankruptcy. Chimpanzees share more than 98% of the same DNA as humans and live in complex social family groups in the wild. At TCF, they live in isolated in prisons of concrete floors and metal walls, and no other enrichment items besides an occasional ball, tire, or TV set. During nights of observation, we heard the chimps and Maccabee monkeys periodically scream and crazily pound on the walls, sounds we will never soon forget. A separate anonymous video crew with no knowledge of our action plans filmed the disgusting conditions of this place. The audio track on this raw video footage was removed because the crew talked to the chimps to try and calm them down. The footage shows a crew member feeding them raisins. Some of the chimps were eager for this friendly contact, but others only rocked themselves, nearly catatonic in the edges of their cages. We wanted to liberate all these animals, but because of difficulty in moving and sheltering them, especially since they're infected with HIV, hepatitis, and herpes, we decided the best way to help them was to cause as much economic damage to TCF as possible. Every precaution was taken to avoid injury to the animals, personnel, security, and firefighters. We intend for this act of nonviolent economic sabotage to bring an end to this truly evil institution. If any investors considered bailing out TCF, they have a factor in large financial losses from direct action. This is for the animals from the Animal Liberation Front.
And moving to Northern California, a Pacific Lumber slap suit against a Matole resident has been dismissed. Pacific Lumber Company's slap suit against Matole resident Ellen Estabrook Taylor of Petrolia was dismissed after a hearing held in Eureka, California on October 10th. Maxam's Pacific Lumber Company, along with several logging companies and ranchers, sought monetary damages from Taylor as a result of her public speech in favor of halting Maxam Pacific Lumber clear-cut logging plans in the Mattole River. Ms. Taylor lives downstream from the logging plans. Her property has suffered damage from the sediment generated from Maxam's logging, and she has sought to stop such damage from current timber harvest plans.
This is happening over in Wiltshire, England, an English tree protected by direct action. The last remaining tree in the town center of Devizes, Wiltshire, England, is going to have an independent tree surgeon assess its health. The tree was one of four which was marked by cutting by the local council when they declared the trees to be diseased. Despite strong local opposition, which has included thousands of people signing a petition, contractors felled three of the four trees, leaving one. Local people managed to prevent the felling of the fourth tree by forming a picket around the tree. All right. Organizing a tree sit and by parking a car under the tree. This tree action protest has remained strong and has drawn much local and regional media interest. The protesters have always argued the tree is not diseased and that the felling of the trees is merely part of the town's council's redevelopment plan for the town center. In response to the direct action protests, the council agreed to have an independent tree surgeon look at the tree. This is a small victory for this local-based direct action. Where petitions failed, nonviolent direct action has achieved this small victory. Let's hope it leads to the total reprieve for the tree and all trees in the future.
Let's hear it for those English activists. They're getting more and more into it. Dear friends, in this letter from up north, we're working to set up our Climate Action Now roadshow plans, and we'd like your help on creating a list of cities to visit. Here's the basic idea. The show's purpose is to support three campaigns, and the talks have five components. Okay, pay attention. Climate destabilization and the climate crisis. What is it? What are the alternatives? What are the options? The World Bank cessation of funding fossil fuel development campaign, which is sponsored by the Institute for Policy Studies. A climate component of Citigroup divestiture campaign sponsored by the Rainforest Action Network. And Reclaim Earth Day in Detroit, recruiting people to show up in Detroit next spring for protests and direct action. So what's the timeline for this roadshow? Well, November 11th or 18th or through the 22nd, the Climate Action Now roadshow wants to be in the northern Mississippi River Valley states and Rust Belt states and to have meetings with local unions. This would be Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, Kentucky, Tennessee, Washington, D.C., and possibly Iowa, Nebraska, West Virginia, and Maryland. So if you live in any of those areas in November or December, you might want to get something organized in your area. On February through March, starting at the Earth First Organizers Conference in Arizona, they'll be moving through Arizona, California, New Mexico, Texas, Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, and possibly South Carolina, North Carolina, and Virginia. And then in March, they'll be in the Mississippi River Valley going north towards Detroit, hopefully to miss any states that they didn't pick up. And then in the later part of March through April, they'll be at the Windsor, Canada, and in Detroit at the Reclaim Earth Day. And so what could they use? Well, what they can use from you is a list of college towns, union locals, and other cities that we should try to go to for the fall leg of the show. If you could scribble some ideas as soon as possible, it would be great. Then if you have any contact info for any of these places, please try to get that to us early as you can. We only have 5 or 6 weeks to get the show together. Also, we don't have a vehicle as of now, so we're considering two options, buying or begging or borrowing a vehicle out here in California and driving it to the Midwest and then back to California, or flying out to Chicago and borrowing a vehicle and driving around and taking it back. So if you know one who might help out with a vehicle, either option would be great. Please let us know if you'd like to host a show, even if it's in the later spring leg for the South. We also need money right now for food, gas, information, posters, press release packets for the event hosts, and what we really need is ink for an Epson 740 printer. Thanks a lot. The glaciers bat last. Drip, drip, drip. If you can help out, call Climate Action now. Their number is 707-923-2114. That's 707-923-2114. And if you can send them donations, or if you have an ink cartridge for an Epson 740 printer, send it to Climate Action now. P.O. Box 324, Redway, California, 95560. And if you want to send them email, it's climate@efmedia.org. That's climate@efmedia.org.
All right. Some comments are needed on the June Croc Oregon timber plan and sale. TCP, or is that THP, Timber Harvest Plan. It's kind of a common word by Earth Firsters. Got to stop those THPs and let them just cut one or two trees, and that's all, and get the hell out. Because we need to protect those trees for our kids. So check us out what they're doing in Oregon. The Barlow District of Mount Hood National Forest has announced that it is seeking comments on its proposed June Croc timber sale. Initial scouts of the sale area indicate that the Forest Service is planning on logging old growth and much of what's left of the remaining mature forest in the sale area. Visit www.bark-out.org/sale_junkcroc.html. That's www.bark-out.org/sale_junkcroc.html for the Forest Service's letter requesting comments, an updated unit map, and photos. At this early stage of the sale, we won't yet have a specific written plan called the Environmental Assessment, or EA. Rather, the Forest Service is soliciting comments that will determine which issues they will need to cover in the Environmental Assessment. The June Croc plan goes as follows: 562 acres of logging, 15 acres of logging in riparian reserves, 0.55 miles of new roads, 1.25 miles road reconstruction, 9.8 miles of road closures, 0.5 miles road decommissioning, legal description R10E, T.5S, sections 4 to 10, 17, 18. Oh, you lawyers might know that one.
Let me give you a little hint on that. It's Range 10 East, Township 5 South, and then sections 4 through 10, 17, and 18.
All right.
It's a little topographical designation there, yeah. If you look at a map, it'll tell you right where it is.
Cool. Thank you so much, Dennis.
Once again, that's Range 10 East, Township 5 South, sections 4 through 10, 17, and 18 is the Junk Rock Timber Sale.
And comments on this are due by October 19th, so we should jump on this pretty soon. Guy to get in touch with, his name is Paul Bryant. That's B-R-Y-A-N-T. He is the district ranger. His mailing address is 780 Northeast Court Street. That's an interesting address. In Defur, D-E-F-U-R, Oregon, at 97021. If you're planning a field trip to Junk Rock, call Bark for more details. His phone number is 503.331.0374. That's in the 503 area code, 331.0374 at www.bark-out.org. Back to you, Dennis.
All right, thanks, Jason. Forest watchers, if you have on-the-ground knowledge of forest clearcuts of 100 or more acres, particularly in Maine, West Virginia, Tennessee, or North Carolina, contact NASA. There may also be parallel researchers compiling similar data in other parts of the country. This person works as a research intern for the Global Inventory Mapping and Modeling Group, or GIMS, located at the NASA Goddard Flight Center in Greenbelt, Maryland. The GIMS group is involved in remote sensing research of deforestation and fire events, as well as production of vegetation indices and data calibration. This could be of great help to you if you are a forest watcher. And for further information about GIMS, you can visit the following website. Now, it's a little strange, so it's LTPWW. Trust me, it works. I tried it. I didn't believe it would. LTPWW.gsfc.nasa.gov slash GIMS, G-I-M-M-S, / HTDocs, / I'll read that one more time. ltpwww.gsfc.nasa.gov / GIMS, G-I-M-M-S, / HTDocs, / It's a kind of a nice government website. Some interesting stuff there. Our group recently received a MODIS satellite data set of the eastern United States, and in cursory examination of the data, we identified areas that we believe to be large tracts of deforestation. We would like to begin an exploratory study of the extent of recent clear cuts in the eastern United States. The study will be supported through funds appropriated by the GIMS group by NASA and will utilize MODIS and Landsat data. Those are satellite data. The ultimate goal of the research is to produce a document illustrating the degree of deforestation in the eastern United States over the late 1990s and its potential effects on surrounding areas. The document is intended for publication in a scientific journal, but ultimately we would like the information to be disseminated to the general public. While GIMS has access to satellite imagery, it is difficult for us to ground truth such a large area given our current human resources. In other words, they're looking at the whole East Coast, folks. What may look like a clear-cut site from satellite images may be, in fact be a completely different feature. To avoid misinterpretation of satellite signatures, it is necessary to have on-the-ground corroboration. In the initial stages of the study, we are focusing on areas with the largest clear cuts. We are requesting assistance from deforestation monitors. How about environmental activists who have firsthand knowledge of the history of these sites? The information they're requesting is clear cuts from 1995 to the present, and particularly in Maine, West Virginia, Tennessee, and North Carolina. Sites over 100 acres in area. Locality info for clear cut sites, ideally in the form of latitude and longitude coordinates, but township and range information would also be useful. Locality info for a few large sites where selective cutting is occurring. Thanks in advance for the help. Diane Pitassy, P-I-T-A-S-S-Y. Diane Pitassy, I don't know, P-I-T-A-S-S-Y, NASA Goddard Space Flight Center. And here's the strange stuff, so listen carefully and write it down as you go. Code 923, Building 33, F-120. Once again, code 923, Building 33, F-120, Greenbelt, Maryland, 20771. I'll read that all once more again. Diane Pitassy, P-I-T-A-S-S-Y, NASA Goddard Space Flight Center, code 923, Building 33, F-120, Greenbelt, Maryland, 20771. And you can also give Diane a call at 301-614-6681. That's 301-614-6681, and she's there on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. I also have an email address, diane@miombo.gsfc.nasa.gov. That's Diane, D-I-A-N-E, at miombo, miombo.gsfc.nasa.gov. And I hope all that information got to you. All right, what else do we got here? We got the third annual Indiana Forest Fest happening October 26th through the 28th at Earth Heart Home, Bloomington, Indiana. This is the third annual Indiana Forest Fest, and it's just around the corner. Please join us in the beautiful hardwoods of southern Indiana for a celebration of a year of accomplishment in the protection of Indiana's public forests. And they had some tree sits out there this year. Let me tell you, there's some stuff going on. All right, this year's event will include great speakers, workshops, music, and food, as well as a great chance to get involved in the protection of our public land. Registration is required, so write to Indiana Forest Alliance, P.O. Box 1074, Bloomington, Indiana, 47402. That address again for registration for the third annual Indiana Forest Fest, October 26th through the 28th, is Indiana Forest Alliance, P.O. Box 1074, Bloomington, Indiana, 47402. If you'd like more information, call 812-332-4878. That's 812-332-4878. Well, we're going to take a little musical break here and let Uncle Dennis rest his voice. We're going to listen to a song called Kiss Mother Nature Goodbye, Hank Williams Jr.
The oil tankers poison the ocean. Bulldozers ravage the land. We've taken from sweet Mother Nature just about all she can stand. She just keeps holding our hand. There's a big tractor loose in the forest, ripping the trees from the earth. Those redwoods are falling to progress, but a few roots still grip the earth. How much is that timber worth? Well, it's time to start asking some questions, like how long can... How much is that timber worth? Well, it's time to start asking some questions, like how... The smoke from those big city factories is choking this country to death. I don't claim to have all the answers, but how long can the truth be denied? If we don't get our act together and start looking for ways to survive, we can kiss Mother Nature goodbye. Now there's still some fish in the river, and young eagles learning to fly. The hope of the next generation is soaring up there in the sky, but I'm afraid I can read his mind. Well, it's time to start asking some questions, like how long can we hold our breath? The smoke from those big city factories, it's choking this country to death. No, I don't claim to have all the answers, but how long can the truth be denied? If we don't get our act together and start looking for ways to survive, well, we can kiss Mother Nature goodbye. Now, I don't claim to have all the answers, but how long can the truth be denied? If we don't get our act together and start looking for a way to survive, well, we can kiss Mother Nature goodbye.
And Earth First Radio will be right back, so stand by.